Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And that welcome is to all who are in our meeting house. This is one of the largest in-person congregations I think we've had, certainly since Easter Sunday. That is providing challenges logistically, but we're still managing it. We're still a bit of room yet. So if you're watching at home, we do still have a few spare seats. So come on down, folks. We could get you up into the... No, one of my elders is going like that at me. No, scrap that. Okay. Well, listen, it's great to have you. And if you're watching or listening at home, it's great that you're able to continue to share with us that way. Can you believe it's the 6th of June? So welcome to Railway Street for our Youth Sunday on the 6th of June. And we want to welcome those who are visitors with us today. And we've a number of visitors. It's great to have some of our BB families here today. And it's great that we're going to be able to do what we're doing today with them. And we want to welcome our BB Captain David and Ashley and the family. It's great to have all of them here today as well. And to welcome back some old friends and former members of Railway Street, it's lovely to have Norman and Lorna and Russell Bryan over from Scotland. Nicola Sturgeon let you out okay, did she, Norman? Good. Well, it's lovely to have you back with us today as well. And if anybody else is a visitor here, or if you're back for the first time in a good while, folks, it's a real joy and a delight to see you. We've missed you. We really have. And it's lovely to have you back in Railway Street today. Hopefully by now, folks, you've all received a copy of the June Bulletin, and also within that then the leaflet on the link redevelopment and also the gift day envelopes. We know that this project is presenting us with real financial challenge, but we also know that with the Lord's leading and providing, that we'll be able to overcome that. And we're looking for you to respond generously and according to how the Lord has prospered you, according to your ability to give. We had a meeting on Tuesday, with a project meeting on Tuesday with the architect, quantity surveyor, contractors, lots of other people. I didn't understand a lot of what they were talking about. But what I can tell you as a result of that is that the work is going to begin properly on the 16th of August. Now, there will be preparatory work taking place before that, but the contractors will be on site properly from the 16th of August. We have an 11-month time scale, which should mean a handover in early July 2022. A good offering next Sunday will help us to resupply our building fund ahead of the commencement of that construction work. It will give all of us encouragement as we step forward in faith, and it will also help our treasurer as he negotiates with the bank to secure the loan that we need in order to move forward. So you're asked to bring your gift envelopes here next Sunday, or put them through the usual letterboxes, you know where those are, or to make use of electronic bank transfers, as I know many of you are now doing. As also as explained in the bulletin, folks, this incoming week is being designated as a Minister's Refresh Week by our moderator. That means all frontline ministers are being encouraged to take this week as a time for reading and reflection and rest from the normal round of parish life. So as a result of that, folks, I'm going to try and take a break from electronic communication this incoming week. I will still be around. I'll not be far away. If you need me in an emergency, phone my mobile as normal and you'll get a hold of me. But aside from that, folks, I'm going to try and follow the moderator's instructions there and step back. Heidi, who's been off the last week, Heidi, our deaconess, will be back on duty this week, and so she will be available. So no further ado, going to hand over to Stephen.
Good morning, folks. I haven't seen a lot of you in quite a long time because we've been meeting in the other hall, but I'm sure we can all agree that I've aged pretty well, haven't I? Still look about 16. But it's great to be here this morning, isn't it? Last year, our Youth Sunday, we had to do online because of the restrictions. So it's great to be in the building together again this morning and to see it so full. Let me start by reading a story that probably a lot of you will know from the Bible. It's found in Mark chapter 10. It's only a few verses, but this is what it says. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. What a reminder as we come to Youth Sunday, Youth and Children's Sunday this morning. Jesus didn't say to the children, bring the children to me whenever they've learnt to be quiet through my sermon. He didn't say, bring the children to me, but make sure they go out the back whenever they need to eat their snack. Maybe the disciples said that, but Jesus surely didn't. He said, bring the children to me as they are. And we as a church want to echo that this morning. We love having the sound of children in our service this morning, whether that's them eating snacks or crying or shouting Nino, Nino up and down the aisles. We want them to come as they are, just like Jesus has said. And so if your child gets a bit distracted and starts crying, that is okay. If you want to feed your child this morning, that is okay. If you can teach your child to say hallelujah instead of brim brim, come to me after and teach me as well. But we all come this morning, don't we, as children before God. We all come as children this morning before the throne, confident that ours is the kingdom. We come with different backgrounds. Some of us come with different failures this week, different fears this week, but we all come to the same throne. We all come to the same King. And so as we come this morning, let me pray. Father God, you have freely given us your Son, Jesus. Jesus, you have freely paid our debt. Holy Spirit, you have freely bid us come. And we come. We come this morning to your throne, just like children, to confidently receive part of that kingdom you've promised. We come to you this morning. Let us come to you unhindered. Let us come to you confident that your kingdom belongs to every one of us. Not through our own achievements or abilities, not through our own goodness or how well behaved we are or how focused we are, not through our language or charity support or environmental consciousness or ethical standards, but through your blood, through your atoning blood given on the cross, through your sacrifice and not through our living, through your grace and not through our goodness. Our believing is our receiving. So we come this morning not because we're worthy to come before your throne, but because you invite us. Not because we've earned a seat at your table, but because you have invited us. And we stand before your throne this morning worshiping your name. And we ask this morning that you'd speak afresh to us. We ask that you'd fill us with all of your grace and your love. Where there's sorrow or grief, replace it with joy. Where there's fear or anxiety, replace it with peace. Where there's loneliness, replace it with comfort. Where there's hurt, heal us. And where we're empty, fill us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but you have come that we may have life and have it to the full. So we pray that you'd fill us this morning as we come before your throne. Amen. Folks, we're going to join together to sing our first song this morning. We have been standing as we sing, but can I ask that if you aren't comfortable standing, you can remain seated, and if we can continue to wear our masks as we sing. We're going to sing our first song, God is for Us.
Another thank you at this stage, folks, and we do this each year, and it's an opportunity to say thank you to all of you who serve as leaders and volunteers in all our youth and children's activities. To say this last year has been somewhat challenging would be a real understatement. We know that COVID-19 has disrupted all our church activities. It shut everything down 2 points over the course of the last year. However, despite this, we're really indebted to leaders who have continued to do what they can to keep in contact with our children and young people, to engage with them through online resources week by week and through various Zoom meetings. And as you've heard, it's been great since Easter time that we've been able to reopen youth activities on Sunday mornings, that small groups are now able to meet again down in our property. It's been lovely to be in Wallace Park on Tuesday night and to see the number of boys running around, enjoying being back together. And it's wonderful to be in the position where our GB is organised and ready to go. We've a great leadership team in place. We've a good number of girls and ready enrolled for that. There have been online activities that have been provided, and they've been able to have their very first meeting together ever in Wallace Park in recent weeks, and I know they were really encouraged with how that went. We deeply appreciate, and I deeply appreciate, that ongoing work and service that you have done in very difficult circumstances, and we look forward in the earnest hope and prayers that come the autumn we're going to be able to return to some measure of regular, normal youth activities once again. It'll be a particular joy to see our BB back on a Tuesday night and to see our GB commencing on a Thursday night. So to all of you who have continued to serve in whatever capacity, we say thank you this morning, and let's as a congregation show our appreciation to them in the normal way. And I'm going to ask you folks, as we normally do, I want to pray for you now. So I'm going to ask all our youth leaders and volunteers, and that includes all our GB folks, if you wouldn't mind standing just as we pray for you. So could you all stand for us now? Okay, let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that we are a covenant people. We thank you that you are our God and the God of our children. We thank you for how precious children are to you. We were reminded right back at the beginning, as Stephen shared with us, that welcome that Jesus gave to the children. We thank you that your promise of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is extended to our children. Today we thank you for those who assist parents in seeking to pass on the Christian faith to our young people. Those who reach out in the name of Jesus Christ and who seek to teach the truths of your word. To welcome children as our Lord Jesus welcomed little children. Today we thank you again for their dedicated service. We give thanks for how they've continued to give of their time and their talents. We know this has been deeply challenging in this time of pandemic and its lockdowns, but we give thanks for that online technology that has enabled leaders to continue to provide resources and online meetings. We thank you for how through this our children and young people have continued to see and hear of the love that you have for them in Jesus Christ. We thank you for every way in which they have been encouraged and built up in their understanding of the gospel, and every way in which they have continued to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray that our youth leaders will enjoy a restful and refreshing summer. And it is our earnest hope, Lord, that as we come to September, that the current restrictions will be lifted to the degree where our youth activities can recommence in as normal a fashion as possible. We pray that our leaders will be willing and able to return enthused and equipped for service in that new session. Where we've need for further volunteers, we ask you to stir up and call others to serve in this way, so that the work of building the kingdom of God among our children and young people would continue to prosper and to know your blessing. Hear our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.
Our Bible reading this morning is from John chapter 10, verses 1 and 10. Lydia is going to come and read it for us. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And then after that, David Cleland's going to come up and he's going to open it up for us and teach us on it. So John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10.
Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Lydia, well done. That was a tricky passage. I thought I was going to have to read that yesterday, and then I got the order of service through and I saw your name, so well done. Congrats. Thanks very much for doing that. So look, it's a great privilege to be here this morning to be able to share this with you. And it's been on my mind for a few days now, and how I wanted to start off was thinking about conversations that we had. Do you ever find yourself involved in a conversation within a group? You can either be like fully involved or maybe just on the outskirts listening in. Think of between even last Sunday and today, how many conversations that you've been involved in or that you've listened to. Maybe some of the younger guys have been in school, some of our older ones are back working in an office, or maybe it's a family get-together or just being around friends and you're listening to all these conversations. And do you ever get to the point where you kind of go, what on earth are they on about? In my workplace, we have an open plan office. There's about 14 people all in there, so everyone has a different opinion and they're all chatting about different things. I know most likely when I go in tomorrow morning, it'll be, what did you do at the weekend? And then fast forward to Friday, it'll be, what are you doing this weekend? And then in the middle of the week, they talk about, what food are you going to have tonight? What Netflix series did you watch? Oh, did you see that on the news? Did you see this? And people are laughing and people are kind of knowing like that. Those type of conversations go on, don't they? It's amazing what gets people excited and passionate. In the place where I work, people are running about, they're stressed out, they're running after print orders and they're flapping about and the phone's slamming down. And then all of a sudden, the conversation turns to their pets. And it's like, oh, have you seen my wee doggy? And the phone comes out, have you seen my wee kitten? And do you know what they do? They start talking in this wee funny voice, say, oh, would you look at that wee man there? Isn't he just lovely? And they're talking about going and they're getting them groomed and they're getting perfume for them and all sorts of crazy things that people do for their pets. I'm just sitting on the outside of that conversation going, what on earth are you on about? Someone told me this week that actually owners start to look like their pets, and everyone's kind of worried now, thinking, have I got a photograph of you walking through Wallace Park with your pet? Hopefully the guys have some images there that they can show on the screen. What about any of them? Do you think they look alike? If we go on to the next one. Quite similar. I like that guy. That looks like a pretty tough dog, doesn't it? Anyone know who that lady is? Cher, yeah, look at her dog. I think that guy's actually called Snoop Dogg, is he? Is that the right one? I don't know if anyone has a pet giraffe now, but she does look quite like her, doesn't she? And even ministers, would you believe it? Look at that one there, Michael. Who would you say our Michael looks like? I don't know. There was maybe one more, was there? And it wasn't a lookalike, it was a different image. So in my family, my two girls, Ashley and Rebecca, they think I look like a giraffe. Now, I don't know whether it's the long neck or the sticky out ears or whether I'm like looking over and peeking in somewhere and they're absolutely laughing here now, but that's a little in-joke in our family. So if you want, you can call me a giraffe as well. But what about the Bible? What is the most common animal we find in the Bible? If you listen to Lydia there, who read so well, we find that it is a sheep. And she read from John chapter 10. And funny enough, John 10 leads on from John chapter 9. And in John 9, Jesus is talking to a group of people called the Pharisees. And do you know what? In some way, these guys are absolutely amazing because they are incredible at keeping rules. They are so, so good at that. But Jesus is trying to tell them that it's not all about keeping rules and that, in fact, he wants a relationship with them. Jesus is trying to paint a really clear picture of what it is like to have a relationship with him, and that he describes himself as the shepherd and that we are the sheep. I know we've just sang there that he's the lion, but he's also the lion and the shepherd as well. He can be described in a number of different ways. And I know it's maybe stating the obvious here, but if you think about a shepherd and the sheep, a shepherd is always going to lead his sheep into green grass and watch over them, isn't he? And very often, the sheep don't actually realize that the shepherd is providing and protecting his sheep. Jesus is saying here in verse 10 that if we follow him, if we follow him being the shepherd, he promises us life abundantly and life to the full. Now, I want you to use your imagination here for a little second. Imagine you're out in the car and you're driving past a field and there's a field full of sheep, all right? Think about what they look like whenever they're looking back at you. Sheep are kind of nice, aren't they? They're kind of furry and fluffy, and maybe if kids do some craft, sometimes they get a piece of cotton wool, stick it on the page and draw a little bit of the sheep. They're nice animals, and maybe if there's some younger kids who struggle to go to sleep, mum and dad come in, they don't ask you to count lions or giraffes or goats or rhinoceroses. They say, why don't you count sheep to get you over to sleep? And even though sheep are nice, in a way, sheep are a little bit dumb, aren't they? As you're driving past in the car and you look at them, you're looking at their face and they're kind of looking back at you. And they are a little bit dumb. And that's a bit like us too, isn't it? If we're left to our own ways, we kind of wander off and we think sometimes we know best. It reminds me of a line in the old hymn where it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And what Jesus is saying here in the passage in John 10 is that we need a guide. And if we're to be guided in anything, we know there has to be like a set of rules. And the rules are there not to annoy us, but they're there for our good. It's like whenever you drive home from here today and you come down Railway Street, you'll see maybe a green light or a red light. And we all know that a green light means go and a red light means stop. And there's also 30 mile an hour signs in this built up area for us to obey those rules to keep everybody safe. We come across shepherds and sheep many times in the Bible. Places like Psalm 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures and still waters. Sounds good, doesn't it? And then I was thinking a little bit this week about an amazing set of stories in Luke chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. There's a story about a lost coin. There's a story about a lost son, or we often refer to him as the prodigal son. And there's a story about a lost sheep. And one little sheep out of 100 goes wandering off on his own. And I've been thinking about this little dude and thinking, why did that sheep want to move away from the shepherd and his 99 friends? I was thinking, he maybe took his eyes off the shepherd. He maybe wasn't content with the grass that the shepherd was giving him anymore, and he maybe thought, you know what, I'm better off on my own. I see another field over there where I think the grass is greener over at that other field. And he maybe wandered off over to the other side. You've heard that wee phrase before, haven't you? The grass is always greener on the other side, but often when we get there, it's maybe not greener. And that's when it's dangerous for us as well in our lives. Whenever we take our eyes off the shepherd, and we think we're better off running in our own strength. Jesus warns us in the first part of verse 10 that there is an enemy and that he seeks to attack, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you know what? Don't underestimate our enemy because he's very good at telling lies and he's actually a lot smarter than what you might think. He tries to make you feel good, and while that may be okay for a while, overall, it's not going to be for your long-lasting good. I heard Daniel mention earlier on about McDonald's. Who here, boys and girls, mums and dads as well, likes McDonald's? Go on ahead. Stephen, you were straight up there. Great. Most people like McDonald's. I love McDonald's. Every time I go, large Big Mac, gherkins in, tomato ketchup on, large fries, large strawberry milkshake. It's almost a repeat order. Coffee's great in there as well, and you even get a little loyalty card if you keep going back. And here's a little tip for some of you hipsters out there who may be looking at a bit something different to do. go and get medium vanilla milkshake, double espresso coffee, take a little sip out of the vanilla milkshake, put the espresso in, give it a wee swirl, suck it up. There's a top tip for you. See how many people can try that between now and next week. But who remembers a little movie, or it was a movie or a series in 2004 called Super Size Me? Has anyone ever seen that? Yeah? There's a few people have seen Super Size Me. This guy thought he loved McDonald's, right? And he decided to go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, I think for about 2 or 3 weeks. And you know what? He ended up really, really ill. Because you know what McDonald's is? It's really nice for a treat, but for every day, it just doesn't sustain. And what Jesus is offering us here is so much more as well. And, you know, maybe Michael or some other Bible student might be able to explain this a little better. But whenever I read John 10, verse 10, about having life to the full, I take that for me as life to the full here on earth, but also life to the full in terms of a spiritual life and life to the full in eternity. And life to the full here on earth doesn't mean that we're always going to be happy when we follow Jesus or things always go our way. We might not always have amazing possessions, but we do have the most important thing that he offers, and that's a personal relationship with him. In verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." So before he offers life and life to the full, he offers us this wonderful free gift of salvation. And that salvation is where you put your trust in him and you become a Christian. Each and every one of you here today, did you know that God loves you so, so, so much that he sent his only son here to earth? The most precious thing that God had was his only son, Jesus. And he sent him to live here on earth. And that's no small thing to skim over. And he did that so that he could have a personal relationship with you. The next verse on from our reading, in verse 11, Jesus says these words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." How does Jesus do that? He laid down his life for us on the cross, not to give us material possessions, but to offer us eternal life. And I know you celebrated communion here last week, and we're not long past Easter. Jesus on the cross was our substitute. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. He took our place to die for our sins. Let me ask you all a question here this morning. I want you to put up your hand if you think you're a bad person. More than I thought. That wasn't part of the script. Not a lot of us would say that we're bad people. Most of us generally kind of think we're relatively good, right? But by our very nature, we're born into sin. You don't need to teach a toddler whenever he grows up to be angry or disobedient. And you know, I'm not talking about you guys as well. I'm talking more about myself, because the same is true in my own life. I became a Christian when I was 25. And as a kid, I always enjoyed church and BB. But I got to a point whenever I was a teenager, I began raking about too much, and I listened too much to the enemy's lies. And when we give him space, he comes in and he occupies our lives, and he wreaks absolute havoc. He often takes control, and quickly, before you even realize what's going on, he's in there and he's controlling your life. If we're all honest, sometimes we give the enemy a little foothold into our life. We give him a foot in the door. And before you know it, he hasn't just got his foot in the door, but he's actually walking down your hallway, and he comes into where you're at, and before you know it, he's even sitting at your table. He's subtle when he does this. And you know, whenever I was a kid, around a lot of your guys' age this morning, I used to sit up here listening to the sermons and stuff, and I thought, whenever I was about 14, 15, I actually like this kind of idea of being a Christian, but I'm going to be a Christian when I think I'm 40. So here we are, 41. Last year, I had 41 candles on my cake, and I have passed that. And I am so glad that I haven't missed the last 16 years of my life walking in a relationship with Jesus. My life hasn't become boring at all. And do you know what? I still make lots of mistakes every day, but Jesus still loves me and forgives me. Living a life with Jesus is amazing. And living my life here on earth with him gives me a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. And if it gives me a glimpse of that, then I can't wait to be with him there. And often we go through our lives and we kind of live in the here and now, and we don't often have eternity in mind. I remember seeing a fantastic video a few years ago by an American pastor called Francis Chan. I'm sure some of you have seen it, and I'm going to need my two volunteers to come up now, Micah and Daniel. And Francis Chan used this little illustration about our life and this rope. So if you take that end and you just walk down, you walk it out. And Daniel, you stand there, keep going. Good. Dan, you come here. Keep going, Micah. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Good lad. Okay, Daniel, you hold it there. Francis Chan in this video compared our lives to this rope. And we're human beings. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And what he was saying was that our lives, after we die, they stretch on. And we spend so much of our lives focusing on this little bit at the end here, which is our life on earth, when really we should be focusing on what matters in eternity. And if this rope went on, Mike is now outside the door. If you imagine not the blue part of the rope went out of here, went down Wallace Avenue, and it went around Lisburn, and it went around Belfast, and it went around Northern Ireland, and it went around Europe, and it went around the world, and it went around the world, and it went around the world, and it kept going and going and going and going and going and going and going until it never stopped. Imagine how long that is. But yet we're focusing all our life in this part without thinking of eternity in mind. Go and check out that video. He explains it a lot better than me. Thank you, guys. Life is here for little kind deeds, little chats and calls, looking out for someone, good laughs, happiness and humor. Who cares about how many rooms we have in the house, how many liters the car engine has, or your golf handicap? It's not about earning money and amassing stuff. Jesus offers us so much more. And whenever he offers us that, he's not asking us to change on the outside. He's asking us to change from the inside outwards. And what he wants us to do when we do that is form a new heart within our lives, a new soft heart which is open to God, that our attitude and our lifestyles overflow into our actions. These two guys who got their Queen's badge, Quinny and Cameron, I've already said I'm so proud of them, and I've managed not to cry, which is great. It's a fantastic, unbelievable achievement. But there's the risk for these two guys that this becomes the end for them, and that would be a great tragedy. I've seen them develop and mature over many years, and again, so proud of what they've done. But if these two go out of here today, they get their certificates and they hang them up on the wall and they get their badges and put them on their mantelpiece for everyone to come by and see, and that's it. And if I walk out and I see them getting onto a bus and the bus is full and there's an elderly lady gets on, or a mother with a child, and they don't stand up and offer that person a seat, or if I see them walking into the spa and they're pushing through and they're rushing past and they're not standing back and holding the door open to let someone in front of them, you could argue that that's going to be fruitless. And as Christians, we live our lives by what we read in this book. Our lives should reflect the fact that we have the Spirit of God living in us. We should be known as people who love and enjoy this book and have a personal relationship with him. Jesus made it possible for us to have a relationship with him and have life to the full. He came here to earth on a mission to set us free from our sin, by dying on the cross, by being raised to life again, to be seated beside his Father in heaven. He makes this all possible. Isn't that good news? All we have to do is say yes to Jesus. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him in heaven. Jesus wants us to hang out with him in heaven. How class is that? To spend eternity, that length of the road, all that time here, not focusing on what we've got here on earth, but all eternity with him. And all the good things that Jesus has in store for us in eternity, it will take that long for us to enjoy it with him. It takes a brave decision to follow Jesus and serve him. It's a personal thing to ask Jesus to come into your heart and change your life. Not because your mum and dad do it, or because your brother or your sister or your neighbor or your auntie or your granny did it, but a personal thing that you've got to do for yourself. And do you know what? If maybe some of you are thinking about that today, don't worry about how it's all going to work out and about the mistakes you make. I make mistakes every day. Jesus is there, and he walks beside you. He is your good shepherd, and he will look after you like a sheep. I was reminded recently by a phrase that Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon, said as soon as he got up there. And the famous phrase that Neil said when he plunked the American flag into the moon, he said, "One small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind." And do you know what? The Christian life is all about small steps every day. If you trust in Jesus today, he'll help you on every single small step along the way. And maybe, Christian, this morning, you know you could be struggling. And the message is the same for you. Get back on track. Don't try to work it all out. Start with small steps each day. Lean into a relationship with Jesus. And I can guarantee you today, if you take one small step, he will go before you and he will take the giant leap. And that he is always there offering to help. So here's my take home for you today. Three little points just before we go. We're all sheep. We like to wander off, and we're a little bit dumb at times, and we think we know all the answers. But the second thing is the good news, that Jesus is our shepherd. He's a good shepherd, and that he wants a relationship with each one of us. And the last thing, if we follow him, he offers us life and life to the full, here on earth and in eternity with him. So I think we're going to sing our final song now. And before we do that, some of you may have seen a little video during the week where James Nesbitt interviews Sir Alex Ferguson. Now, earlier on this morning, it was kind of like tilted that way. So you might, I don't know if the guys have got it fixed. If they don't, that's okay. The audio is just as good. Or you might have to tilt your head around to see it, and then we'll lead into our final song then.
You can't really add to that, folks. So let me just leave with a verse from Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."